Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Well, if you haven't seen the accent challenge, I know a lot of people are tweeting it and Instagramming. It's four young Dubliners with Nigerian heritage, and they surprise social media users by attempting to speak Dublin slang. And what happens is that one of the most hilarious things I've seen in a long time. They're led by 20-year-old Dubliner Tolu Abigungal and her friend Susan Terigi and O'Keefe. I don't know what part of the world they're from. Obviously from Dublin, but one of them was born. Who was born in Nigeria? The Tola was born in Nigeria and her parents are from there, but she moved to Ireland when she was one. And the other girl, she says, we're all born here and their parents are Nigerian. It's everywhere. I'll tweet it now in a sec, but just if you want to give yourself a lift for the weekend and look at four young, vibrant, talented, hilarious, good-natured Irish people at this with Nigerian heritage in these difficult times, well then have a look at the tweet we're going to put out, or indeed you'll find it on, it's on TikTok, it's on everything. Can we play it? Yeah, play it. Now it's hard to explain. These are four young women. They're of Nigerian heritage. In other words, they look what you expect a person from Nigeria to look. They are extremely well presented. The four of them are in the one shot, so to speak. And this is the accent challenge has been going around. You put up four sayings from a particular city, Dublin, Cork or whatever, Galway, and then you try and get somebody from a different country to do the sayings in a Dublin accent or in a Cork accent. But what these four fantastic women, the fabulous four, have done is, they explain it now. You use your imagination. The pictures are better on radio.
So today we're going to be doing the challenge. I think it's the accent challenge. So the first one is Gwon Yumatin. I think it's Gwon Yumatin.
So the second one is I'll get my brother after you. I think it's
I'll get my brother after you.
Okay, so the next one is would you shut up, you bleeding tick. Okay, I think it's would you shut up, you bleeding tick. So the last one is the absolute state of you. I think it's maybe it's
the absolute state.
Now that's each young woman is using their two accents, their Nigerian accent and their Dublin accent, and it's to watch it is just hilarious, and it's suitable for all ages. Now, what isn't suitable for all ages is the first topic on the programme, because it's off the back of an advert in the Evening Herald today, and the advert is for the Sunday World, and it consists of a page of headlines, and they kind of run into each other. But the top headline, a story I was completely unaware of, I never heard of it, and it was about a priest who was caught performing an act of self-gratification on himself in his car. I didn't know that was a crime, but anyway, apparently it is. I'm not even going to say the phrase. But Tommy Roddy and David Bergen are there. I'll go to Tommy first in Galway. Tommy, what do you think of the ad?
Well, to be honest, Joe, I was shocked by it. I remember reading that only a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. Where did you see it?
It was actually in the City Tribune, the Galway City Tribune, the local paper here. But I remember actually reading about it last year as well, because this happened last August. It was in the paper. But the court case was a few weeks ago, and I read about it. And, looking at that ad then, which is an ad for the Sunday World, as you said, and different headlines. But I suppose, the thing about it, it's the very first headline on the page.
Yeah,
so
across the top of the page, yeah.
Yeah, so you cannot help but see it, even if you just glance at the edge. So it's obviously to put there to attract attention.
And was it, I don't know the name of the priest, I've no interest in the name of the priest, but is it a crime? Was he, do you know anything about what happened to Padre?
Well, you see, from what I read, he was masturbating, if I can use that word, in his car. Along the prom, not far from the diving tower in Black Rock. I think the crime is the fact that somebody was passing by and they actually saw him.
Mm.
So it's from the point of view of it being visible. You know, like when I read about it last year and then a few weeks ago, I didn't really think about it. I just to be honest with you, I just thought he was very, very foolish.
So it had nothing to do with him being a priest.
Absolutely nothing. No,
had it? I don't know. Had it? Nothing.
No. You see, the thing about it is, for people that don't know, in the court case, he was given a 1 month suspended sentence.
Oh, was he?
But
okay.
In other words, he's paid a much higher price. Because he was, I'm not going to name the school, but he was the chaplain of a girls' school in Clare, and he was also a parish priest in Clare as well. So he's actually had to step back from two positions.
Yeah.
So obviously, like it said in one article that I read, that he was obviously very embarrassed, which is understandable about it.
Of course, yeah. But okay, we stick with the use of it in this as a headline and this. Full page after the Sunday World, which is a very good paper about crime, and has Patrick and Colin and Nicola and a whole slew of fine journalists. David Bergen, what do you think of it?
Joe, I've only heard about it today.
Yeah, well, it's only in the paper today.
I don't read the Sunday World. Yeah. It's dirt cheap. They're just picking on somebody because he's a priest.
It's the biggest selling Sunday paper in the Republic.
It may be.
It's like the
Daily Mirror or the Daily Star or the German Bild Zeitung, you know, all about pin-up girls, sex at the victim,
okay, well, go back
all that sort
go
of
back
stuff.
To the ad and
it's not a paper I'd read.
Go back to the ad and the use of this phrase, which apparently is, I didn't know, is a genuine headline. A priest caught or found performing an act of self-gratification in his car. Why do you think they use that as the headline?
To make money, to sell newspapers, Joe. You know, if it was somebody else, it was Joe Soap or Joe Bloggs who did that, they wouldn't care. Because a priest has a name, to a reputation to keep up to, you know, as part of the modern agenda is to attack the Catholic Church. There's a hatred against the Church today.
Do you think
despite
so?
All the Church that...
Yeah.
And when you look back, you look at the roots of our modernization in the modern Ireland we have, very, very wealthy Ireland we have today. It all goes back to the foundation, the roots of that development were laid by the Church, not only by the Catholic Church, but also by the Church of Ireland and the other Protestant churches.
Hello? I'm baffled by this, because why it... Okay, I take the point. There is an issue of decency. If somebody is caught doing that in public, so to speak, visibly in public, on his own, obviously. But what's it got to do with being a priest?
Doesn't have anything to do with being a priest.
Apart from the shame of it. But you say you believe this padre, not only does he have to suffer the humiliation of the court case and public and publicity.
He's been destroyed, and I don't like to.
Well, I hope he hasn't been destroyed.
I hope so too. You know, look at. I don't know. There's people rubbing their hands, getting pleasure out of this. I don't think. One thing I always learned, as my mother would tell me, never kick somebody when they're down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's what the Sunday World is doing to that poor man.
So you reckon it's a recent case?
Obviously, I only heard about it today.
Okay. But Tommy, you read about it recently.
Yeah. It happened on the August bank holiday weekend last year in Galway, which was a very, very fine, very sunny weekend.
Yeah.
And he drove up from his hometown in Clare. And the court case was there about a month ago, you know. But, I agree with the last caller there. You know, it's really bashing the Catholic Church. And it's just, as that caller said, it's just a way of selling papers. You know, it's just...
But I wonder, did the story appear in the Sunday World?
Yeah, it did actually appear in Sunday World. I have a subscription to independent newspapers.
Okay, to the,
but I just read the Independent and the Sunday Independent.
It's a great app. You get all the Sunday Independent, the Irish Independent every day. You get the Herald.
Yeah,
and you get all the supplements.
Yeah, but I looked it up online, and there is a full article about the priest.
Okay.
But the priest was obviously, you know, a very decent man, because I was reading about him that he used to take students to France, to Thésée in France, and he was involved in the cycle against suicide and, you know, various things like that. So, as the previous caller said, you know, it's basically kicking him when he's down, really. You know, the court case happened about a month ago, so he's paid the price. He's paid a much bigger price in his life, as opposed to, you know, the shame and the public humiliation, as opposed to the 1 month suspended sentence. So, you know, why bring it up now? You know, it's just basically kicking the man when he's down.
Well,
really,
I'm looking at the laws around the world for somebody who was caught, so to speak, or reported as masturbating in public in Stockholm. It's not regarded as a crime because it's not directed towards a specific person, which I'm sure would apply here because the man was in the car.
Yeah.
Indonesia, on the other hand, is the penalty is in decapitation. But the maximum sentence is 32 months imprisonment.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's from an 1885 Legal Reform Act, and it's a maximum of 14 days in prison. And it says it's an offence for anyone who willfully and indecently exposes his person, so to speak, in a street or public place. It doesn't say in a car, which is a private place, isn't it? To the obstruction and eyes or danger of residents. I don't know who got upset about this or who called the guards.
Well, it was a passerby that happened to be passing by his car, from what I could make out from the reports. And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, sometimes you read about cases like that where people are doing it, you know, very, very visibly in public. And that's an entirely different matter. Whereas obviously, you know, I just looked at it and I saw he was really foolish. He was in his car and obviously he was seen doing it. You know, it wasn't as if he was trying to make a... you know, make it public or that kind of thing. So, you know, he was what I would call unfortunate, basically. That would be my own opinion.
And you say you got a month suspended, but I wonder what's the maximum fine in, or sorry, what is the maximum penalty in Ireland if you are caught self-pleasuring yourself on your own in a car? Or you are singing, I presume. Behind here. Siobhan, Joe at RT.ie, 51551, wash your hands. Siobhan McNamee.
Yeah, I got a phone call from one of your team and they asked me what did I think of the priest. Yeah. Well, all I can say is I don't really think much of the priest. If he wants to do that, if that's his own responsibility, and he's kind of like...
Well, what do you think of the ad is what the lads are talking about there.
Well,
what do you
think? I didn't see the ad. I don't buy the newspapers. But one thing comes to mind, like, very, people are quick to judge the priest, and yet they're teaching masturbation in schools for kids. So it's a double standard thing, teaching masturbation for little children.
Yeah, but that's not I don't know the exact book you're talking about, but it isn't a crime. It isn't a crime.
It's a sin. Masturbation is a sin against the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Says who?
Says God.
Where?
It's in the Ten Commandments, and if you go into the Ten Commandments, now I don't know which one it is.
Onanism is not in the Ten Commandments.
There are rivulets. There are kind of like offlets off each main commandment. So you'd have to go into the Ten Commandments. The bottom line is this, Joe. We're all sinners. Now, you rang me. I didn't ring you.
Yeah, okay.
So I will talk just for a minute, Joe. But... we're all sinners. People are very quick to give out about the Catholic Church.
Okay.
And I told a team member, bring it on. Catholics were made for hard. We were made for hard, right? And the day the Catholic Church isn't being attacked will be a horrendous day, horrendous reflection on the Catholic Church if we're not being attacked. So bring it on.
I'm just looking up a reference here I've been given about masturbation and the Bible. The Bible does not mention masturbation or state whether or not it is a sin. The passage most frequently associated with it is the story of Onan in Genesis 38:9-10. Some interpret this passage to say that spilling your seed is a sin. However, that is not what the passage is saying. God condemned Onan not for spilling his seed, but because Onan was rebellious. Onan refused to fulfill his duty to provide an heir for his deceased brother. The passage is not about masturbation, but about fulfilling a family obligation. Okay, Joe at rt.ie, 51551, wash your hands, and 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about this ad. It's in the Evening Herald today. And as I say, I was totally unaware of the main headline in it. The ad is for the Sunday World. And what they've done is they've run a load of headlines together. And the first headline is priest found masturbating in car. And then that runs into car prices face further Brexit, rise in gun crime leaves young woman fighting for life with riles revealed to be toxic waste dumped by scenic roads. You follow me? And it's a common word. It's like a word game, actually. Frida Ryan. Frida.
Hi, I am baffled that somebody can object that his life is destroyed just because he's a priest. But when I was 7 or 8 years old, which is nearly 60 years ago, this happened to me, and I was in shock for years, especially at that time. You know, I was so green, and I thought, holy Moses. And I would still
But that's not the case here. I'm so sorry that happened to you, Frida. Are you saying there was a deliberate act in front of you, deliberately, so to speak?
Yeah, but hold on a second.
No. I'm not going to defame anybody now.
No, seriously. But because he's a priest, he has an extra. He is a pillar of society.
And the priest, okay.
Doctors. If
it was a doctor, the headline would be doctor found, or if it was a shopwalker found, or if it was
anybody, you know, how can he stand at the altar one day and doing this the following day? I mean, you can't take them seriously anymore when they have a problem like that.
Yeah. Well, he's a sinner, first of all. We're all sinners. And actually, it comes under the 6th and 9th commandments. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
How does masturbation come under the 6th or the 9th? How does it come under adultery? That's exactly what the person is not doing, male or female.
It says, have I willfully entertained impure thoughts or desires? Did I deliberately look at impure TV programs, computer sites, videos?
Oh, my God.
It is indecent, emotional assault, no matter who does it.
Exactly.
Can the man not have a grip and go home and do it if he has to do that?
Okay.
That is his problem. This is a private thing. You don't invite the public while you're in the car. If you're that bad that you can't wait until you go home, you really have a problem. And then stand at the altar and blurt out all the sins and the things.
Well, we don't know. We don't know in this case.
The priest has to go to confession too. That lady, you're way off track. The priest is a sinner like you and me are.
I don't believe in confession. Sorry.
Yeah, well,
I think confession is ridiculous.
You don't come into the conversation. You don't come into the conversation because do you believe in eternity? That's why we go to confession.
Siobhan, you're obviously up to view. If anyone doesn't believe what you're saying, they can forget
it's
about it.
It's not what I'm saying.
It's what you're saying. It's your interpretation of the Bible and the Ten Commandments. When I had the Ten Commandments rotated into my head when I was 8, 9, 10 or whatever, it was never said to us that 6 and 9 was about masturbation. Never, never, never. Daniel, I'll come back to you in a sec, Siobhan. Daniel, your point, please. Yeah. Daniel, joe@rte.ie.
Yeah.
Not
Joe. No, I'll bring you back in a sec, I promise. Daniel.
Yes, yeah. No, Joe, I don't understand how anyone can stand up and defend this. I mean, as someone said, this is a man who's considered a pillar of the community. If this was anyone else, someone high up in a business or a teacher or anyone else, you know, it would be across the media. And to say he's a good man, that he worked with students. Sorry, a man who can't control his sexual urges working with students, with the history that the church has now, how can that be defended?
Okay, stay there, Daniel, please. Ethan Bourne-Moore. Ethan, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, it's Tane. How are you?
Tane, sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, my mistake.
No, you're grand.
Go ahead, tell us your view
on
this.
Yeah, I was a student in Colosta for years, actually, and I never would ever think of ringing into
show
or anything like that. But, you know, something like... And that man there, Daniel, who was just mentioning the fact that, you know, he was working with students... Jerry is one of the nicest people, I probably shouldn't have mentioned
Well, just his first name, don't
Yeah, but he is one of the nicest people that you will ever come across in your life. A pillar of the community, as you said, and a salt of the earth, genuine, very kind man who has given his life to looking after and caring for the girls that go through that school and all of his parishioners. And it's just really upsetting on a personal... This is on a personal level obviously, because I know him. And he is just such a wonderful person, and it's just really sad because he's a priest. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think what he did is silly, and I'm sure that that's... how he feels about it, and I'm sure he will regret it for the rest of his life that he made one silly mistake. But the fact that he was a priest, this is the only reason that we're hearing about it. Okay, maybe if he was a doctor.
True. That's not true.
Maybe if he was... So you're telling me if a man was found on Salt Hill, just a normal guy doing the same thing, he wouldn't have been told to just move along?
It depends on his career. If this was a teacher or someone working in childcare, maybe if he was a teacher or a doctor, plenty of careers,
fine.
Just like a priest, it would be across the media in the same
fashion.
But it doesn't matter.
Okay.
He is still a nice man, and he is still a man at the end of the day.
And
He's not a celestial being. He is not a celestial being. He does not deserve, like, he's a man, and he has, like, it's just not fair. He's a lovely, lovely man, and I just want to say from a personal point of view that these people who are speaking about him do not know him, and I am telling you that anybody who knows Jerry, he is very involved in cycling, very involved in the community, everything.
Against suicide and all. And just to be clear again with Siobhan and Frieda, and we're not naming the padre. The only thing he was accused of was committing this act in a car on his own in a place where someone saw him and phoned the guards.
Yeah.
Etain, do you know do you know how Jerry is now?
Well, I don't, because, you know, I only personally heard about this when it came out in the Galway Tribune, I think, the first time.
That's the first time
that a lot of people had actually heard about it from here. So that's the first time that I had heard about it.
And is he out of ministry?
He isn't in... now, I don't go to church that much, but he isn't... I believe he's no longer living in Clare, but I don't. And it's really sad, and I just want him to know that if... you know, he's listening to this, or if somebody who knows him is listening to this,
okay,
that we support him, and, you know, that most people who have ever come across him, we all support him. And, you know, like, okay, he made a silly mistake. Okay, maybe I'm talking for myself, but a lot of people who know Jerry personally, you know, he'd stop, he'd always have a word for you on the street, he'd never pass you by. Just a lovely, lovely man, and I want him to know that we're thinking of him.
Okay, okay. And he's trying to discover that in other countries, doing what Jerry did is not regarded as a crime.
Well, you know, something like, I think doing it in a public place is just, I think it's silly. And I do think, you know, there's people passing and stuff like that.
Yeah, okay,
I think it's a mistake, and I think we all make mistakes. I just don't agree with the fact that, you know, what Daniel is saying there. Like,
so what do you think, as I say, when it was pointed out to me today, that's if I didn't know, I saw the full page ad, I saw the top headline, Priest Found Masturbating. I thought this was just a series of made up headlines that they put together, but this was an actual headline I was unaware of, and that's the case. Daniel, you wanted to come in there. Etain is saying if it was someone else, it wouldn't be a headline in the newspaper.
I clearly she's swayed by the fact that she knows the man, and I take that into consideration. But you know, if a child had witnessed this, you know, it'd be a different story again.
And I do agree with you.
That wasn't in the accusation.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't.
That wasn't before the court.
That wasn't before the court.
I do agree with you.
It could have very easily happened.
I do agree with you in that respect, Daniel. Like, I do agree that it's not, or I don't agree that it should be legal, or I don't think it's the right thing to do. But I do think that, you know, we all make mistakes.
The fact that he did it at all, he clearly, you know, has an issue controlling his urges, but he couldn't wait until he got home or to a private place.
Well, we don't know that. Nobody knows that except for himself. But,
well,
you know, the thing is,
why is it happening? He knew it was wrong.
Well, I've been handed one report of the court case, apparently, and his solicitor said he was under very significant health pressures and stress.
Well, yeah, that is another reason, but, you know,
I'm just saying there's...
The fact that he works with students, you know, what age are we talking about here?
We're talking about secondary school students.
Yeah,
and he
can't control his impulses.
He does have control. Daniel,
but
I'm telling you, he was my
this.
Chaplain for years. He works, after he works in Gloucester, he went to another primary school. He is a lovely man.
That doesn't give me any comfort.
But like, I mean, you know, there's never, ever been anything said about him but good things from his students. Now, obviously, like, some people might not have liked him on a personal level, but I'm telling you, he would sit down with us, you know, in our area, and we'd all have the chats, and we'd have, like, you know, I don't think that there's any girl in Ennis. Well, like, I stand to be corrected, but I just don't think that any of the girls that went through Gloucester, some of them might not have liked him personally, but I don't, there are so many people who have so much respect for him that went through that school, and that's I called to say that I want him, or who, you know, if he's listening, I hope he isn't listening, to be honest, but I do want, you know, him or his family to know that we...
Yeah.
Well, speaking for myself, but also speaking for a lot of people who have come across him, that we have, you know, huge respect for him, and we understand that it's a mistake, but, you know, he is a man, and he's not a celestial being, as I said, you know, he doesn't, you know, he's a priest, he's not, you know, not human, he's a human being. And to be treated like that in the press is not fair.
Do I hear the word forgiveness bubbling under what you're saying, Etain?
Well, I don't have anything to forgive him for, but I do also want to say, you know, to Daniel as well. Okay, he was, you know, they said the location of where he was in Salt Hill, but we also don't know exactly where he was in Salt Hill. You know, he might not have been parked right at the prom. There's loads of places in Salt Hill that, you know, are quite... You don't know what exactly was happening. And I did hear that when somebody passed and saw him, unfortunately, and they called the guards, and the guards came, and I think it was insisted that... he was going to go away with a warning, but I think it was insisted that he was not.
Okay, Siobhan McNamee, you say it is a sin. Well,
No, I don't. Sorry, don't quote me. I don't say it's a sin. God says it's a sin.
Okay, and who forgives the priest?
So he goes to confession, and God forgives him, and that's the end of it. I mean, anyone who is without sin, let them cast the first stone. Really, it's getting to be rather sickening listening to this. I mean, I'm a sinner. I'm not Miss Perfect.
I know you keep saying that. We're all sinners. We're all
sinners. And let the man. It's just an attack to get to take a priest out. That's basically all it is. Just to take a priest out.
Anya is in Galway. Thanks, Siobhan. Anya, your point, please.
Yeah, I suppose I don't have a whole lot to say about this particular incident, but something similar happened to me in Galway. In the course of my day work at 11 o'clock in the morning on the Headford Road Shopping Centre between, and this is important in the sense of the story, between Smith's Toy Store and McDonald's. I pulled up my car, me and another worker and a young person I work with. We get out of the car. I parked beside this just as close to Smith's as I could. And there was a guy in the car beside me, and he was looking at me, so I thought, well, maybe I've parked too close to him, but he caught eye contact with me, and he kind of put his eyes down, and so my eyes followed, and he was pleasuring himself in that car. I screamed, because that is the natural reaction. And this is what people are missing, maybe, if they haven't come across a man, priest, otherwise, masturbating in a car. My reaction as a grown woman was to scream because I got a fright. He then shrugged his shoulders as if big deal and sped off. And I suppose the further point I'd like to make was I phoned the guards there and then. The guards were brilliant. They were there within 5 minutes because this is a serious thing. And I suppose I was in my kitchen today and I was kind of upset that not that people were defending. I think it was you, Joe, in a way, it was almost like what I heard through my radio was, what's the big deal? And that sort of upset me because I suppose I then, on that day, I had to talk to that child. He was 13. I had to explain to him because he was there. He didn't see the actual act, but he was part of it. I had to talk to his parents. There was a whole risk management.
There was no children intimated in this case.
Really clear that I wasn't commenting on the priest. This, my point was, if somebody's going to do that in a public space, you don't know who you're going to come across. So he can't guarantee there's not. If he's in his bedroom, if he's in his back garden, he can guarantee there won't be a child or a vulnerable adult or somebody who that could trigger. You know, there's lots of people walking around who've had horrible experiences in their lives and could be triggered by that. And, you know, you can't go around. It's not something that people... We can't justify this behaviour. Whether he was in a lay-by on the prom or wherever he was, anyone. I'm not... And it's no difference to me that he was a priest. You know, absolutely none. But we can't go around doing this. There's a reason that the guards came so quickly and were brilliant.
Yeah, okay.
So I suppose that's... Can you see where I'm coming from as somebody who has witnessed this?
And I don't. I think, in fairness, well, maybe not to me, but in fairness to Etain, you frowned, to say the least. You think, what did you say? The priest was a silly thing to do. I don't know the. All I know is from. I didn't even know about it until I saw this headline, and then when I was given a few minutes ago the court. There was no allegation of children or doing it directed at somebody. It was somebody, anyway. I
suppose my point of view there, and I think I was glad when Daniel came on and was given an opposing view. Like, why would you do something like that in public?
So I understand that.
I'm not casting aspersions on the priest. I'm not saying it was his intention, but clearly this man that I came across, the gratification was me.
But is it a bigger offence if he is a priest?
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't make no difference if he's a priest. And I feel...
But that's the headline that people are objecting to.
Yeah, and that's why I suppose I wasn't... when you brought up the headline, I know that was the purpose of the debate, was the headline, so I was a bit hesitant to ring in. And then I said, no, when I felt it was being minimised. And you've had some, in the last couple of weeks, your coverage of things that have happened to women has been wonderful. Mm. It has been so enlightened and given women a voice. And then I felt, wow.
But the nuance on the nuance on this one, I take your point. It did ramble probably.
Joe, can I
but the nuance on this one, Anya, is the headline priest.
Yeah, no, I get that.
That is,
I get
it's not
that.
Man
shouldn't
found.
Make a difference.
Yeah, okay.
It shouldn't make a difference.
Who wanted to come in there, Etain?
Yeah, just to say with Anya, like I completely agree with her. I do agree that, you know, this shouldn't be allowed in public places. I do think that it's. Okay, so I'm saying a silly mistake, but maybe that's not,
silly,
it's not the right word for it. But however, I'm saying this from a personal point of view, and I'm also saying, you know, just because he's a priest doesn't mean...
Exactly.
You know, that
he's
is
lucky
my,
to have... He's obviously has had a good... this guy, this priest man, it doesn't matter to me if he's a priest or a man.
Yeah.
He has people in his corner like you, and that's really good.
Well, yeah, and I hope so. And I do agree with you, you know, that... I wouldn't have liked to have been in your position either.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I do
agree with that. The minimization of the act, I thought when I heard things like silly, and it was more Joe, to be honest with you, kind of like diminishing that the potential impact this kind of thing can have. And this is why the guards responded. And we want our guards to respond and not tell women they're being silly and hysterical if they see something like that. And I'm not talking about the priest because there may have, but when I was in my kitchen going, God, well, did I overreact? And, you know, and then the reaction when you go back to work was everyone thought it's hilarious. This is hilarious. This is not funny. Yeah. I was going about my business in the middle of the day in Galway, and I had then a whole week of pain in the sense of trying to clean up the mess for the child, for myself. I didn't enjoy it. So he was gratified. I certainly wasn't. And when it started coming on the radio again, your heart races again because you're like, this can happen to women just leaving their house. They can see.
Yeah, but in your case, and the offence you're talking about is committed by a man, not necessarily by a priest.
No, and I'd agree with you on that. It shouldn't matter in the sense.
Did Frida Frida want to come back in there, Anya? Frida?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I totally agree with that, whether he's a priest or any other man. It is shocking for others. And if he did it once, he does it more often.
Well, you see,
he doesn't have that control.
Okay.
But that's
I don't know. Okay, you're imputing, and we won't.
I know.
That's not. None of that was said.
Is like that.
Or even alleged.
If they see Leo Varadkar or Michal Martin doing that, it'll also be in the papers because people know them and they have these extra rules. That they have to,
Daniel.
They can barely live, or it's in the paper.
Daniel.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's right to say that the only reason this is in the media is because he's a priest. But I also wouldn't say we should completely disregard the fact that he's a priest. You know, if a doctor was to egregiously harm or kill somebody, we would talk about the oath to do no harm. If a priest commits a grievous, reprehensible act such as this.
Yes.
You know, and he stands up and then preaches about sin to other people.
Exactly.
And he's working with the young and the old and the vulnerable. You know, it is relevant.
What I don't like, Joe, is the girl that you left on for so long that said that he was such a nice man and whatever. Whatever way people present themselves means nothing as who they really are. I mean, you have men beating up their wives. And then when the wife complains about it, they say, what? Johnny is the loveliest man you could meet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know where you're going with that analogy. I just don't think.
Kathleen,
I'll come back in a sec. Kathleen is in Galway. Kathleen, please. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 my chance. Go ahead, Kathleen.
Hello?
Kathleen, please.
I'm actually in
Ennis, Joe. Oh, in Ennis, sorry. It's Galway. Okay, that's fine. And you're telling me you know this priest?
I do, and on a very personal basis. And I'm just so saddened and disheartened to hear what people are saying, kind of, they are now like that lady before, oh, if Johnny beat the wife. Personally, I can go back 22 years, 23 maybe, and that man has given 37 years of his life to the church. Okay. Now, people can say, oh, just because you're involved in the church, nothing to do with it. On a personal basis, I know the good he has done for people.
Okay.
I know that I had an issue going back years ago with a family member. That man came to my door, made me get up, face the world, got me out there, and got me back on the road again. Mm-hmm. And without him, I would have... The words of encouragement he gave and the whole lot. And then we were involved in a little Chernobyl group, a group of women, my friends and I, over in that particular church. And there wasn't enough he could do to help us fundraise and to go out and spend time with the kids in Belarus and everything.
And do you think this, do you think, won the court case, the suspended sentence of a month?
Absolutely. Disgraceful.
And now it's been used, it's been used in an advert for a newspaper. That's the case, is, as you heard.
Yeah. Well, I just think if it was any other Joseph, it that would have been it. A fine, a slap on the wrist, but they threw the full book at this man. And the sad part is, anyone that knows him and genuinely knows him, I was involved with kids in something we used to do in that particular church. And he was always very cautious, saying to us, when one, the children need to use the bathroom, two of you will have to go to protect yourselves.
Rightly so,
always so careful with us, always protecting us. Yeah. So what people are saying there, one, it was silly where he did it. I'm not going to justify that. You can.
Well, what you, but that being said, Kathleen and Daniel, Kathleen, you answer first. What do you, which is the first call we got today? What do you think of him being used as the main headline in a front page, in a full page advertisement, to advertise another media outlet? It's an it's an advertisement for a newspaper, and the top headline is, I didn't know what case it was referring to until people contacted us there. But I didn't even know, as I said, if it was a real case, but it is a real case. And what do you think, Kathleen, of it being used again? In, it's in the papers today.
What else did the media do?
Okay.
I mean, this is because it was a priest, and they love to just take up somebody that they can beat with the brush the whole time. That's been put away. It was dealt with. He was dealt with harshly, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay.
It was put in the cupboard. Why take out the brush again and beat the man again?
And because and then because of his ministry, there was another. I don't know if that's a sanction he voluntarily visited on himself, or he was instructed by his bishop, his parish council, or whatever. But it's a difficult one. I take it, and again, we're talking about the headline and the fact that there's a priest that's attached to the headline, not about the headline itself in terms of the upset of calls and in some cases the underlying problems it reveals. Rachel.
Joe, hello. Hello, Joe.
Okay,
I'm very nervous talking to you, I have to say.
Take your
time. But I just have a quick point to make, really.
Okay.
I was that child. I was 11, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I was on my bike. I was going up to join a club, you know, a youth club thing.
Okay.
And this man beckoned me over from his car. And he very quickly said, I want to have directions.
Yeah.
And, of course, as soon as I looked into the car, that's what he was doing, masturbating.
Oh, gosh,
Well, I turned on my bike, and I never cycled as quickly as I had done since. It really, really bothered me. So I think that I think from that angle that it is not as small a crime as some people are making it out.
Yeah, but that's not alleged in this case by the prosecution. It wasn't alleged.
And I mean, it's just obviously this. Well, as far as I know, this man wasn't a priest. I didn't look at him too much.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter whether he was a priest or what he was. Really, it's just that it could very much alarm somebody, a young person.
I totally understand. Yeah. Totally.
Absolutely. So, I mean, that was just a point I wanted to make, Joe, because it did have an effect on me, and I'm a lot older than that now, and I can still remember that scenario that I came across. So, anyway.
Okay.
All right, well, look, all the best.
Rachel, thanks for telling us
welcome.
That.
You're very
welcome. You mind yourself. And Kathleen and Anya, Frida and Etain and Siobhan and the other callers. Joe at rte.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia e-Niro. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia e-Niro with a range up to 455 kilometres.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Oh, at RTE.ie. By the way, continuing, it began on Monday. Well, it began last week when we got calls about a hit and run and drivers disappearing, especially when they hit cyclists. And then we had this a call from a man called John, and he was explaining that he was cycling up the Wicklow Gap last Saturday morning, well, around noontime, actually, and he was minding his own business. He's a semi-pro cyclist. He's in the full gear, the cleats and the lycra and the helmet and the top-end bike. And out of the blue, this car sped up behind him. Somebody hung out of the window of the car and pushed John, with the result he somersaulted and into a ditch. Luckily, two people came along, two locals. And one of the locals then contacted us to say that John was extraordinarily lucky, because in that line of ditch, so to speak, every now and again there are granite boulders, blocks, big granite blocks. And if he had hit one of them, he'd be in serious difficulties. And then out of the blue, somebody sent us in a video. And they said, from what I know of this video, it was taken last Saturday and it was taken up in Wicklow. Would that be the man that phoned your programme? And we showed it to John, and he got the shock of his life, if he already hadn't got it last Saturday morning, because he realised not only had they assaulted him, but they'd actually filmed the assault. There was at least three people in the car. The car has a sunroof, and the chap in the back, or the woman in the back or whatever, is videoing it on his, filming it on his phone. The chap on the front in a distinctive white top, he's not relaxed sitting in the seat. He's actually standing in the seat, reaching out the window. And the man on the back films this man pushing John. And then he moves the camera back and we see John somersaulting through the air. Now, imagine the shock of that. By the way, John has gone, and he wants to, and I'm thinking he's very brave. He wants to pursue this, especially with the video, and it's the Blessington Garda apparently are investigating it. So if anyone else has any more information, either come to us or go directly to Blessington Garda station, because apparently they're taking it very, very seriously. Now, Gary Vaughan. Gary, it was a few years ago. What happened to you?
Well, Joel, we were, myself and a few friends were down running a music event in Athlone. It was around 2008 or 2009. We travelled down in my friend's van, who was able to move all the gear for us and pack it up after. On our way home, we were all fairly jovial after having a good event and looking forward to the following night. We'd just come past Loughrea on the bypass. We'd went around the roundabout, and just as we were coming off the roundabout, we noticed a car speeding up behind us, flashing lights. So I immediately thought, geez, it must be the guards, lads, so let's pull over, you know. So we went to pull over immediately. The car shot in right in behind us, and I noticed the guy that got out of the passenger seat ran towards the van, towards the right-hand side of the van. I thought, this is very dodgy. There's no reason for the guards to be running so fast. At nothing, you know. So as quick as he was running, I reached over and locked the door as my friend was rolling down the window. And to our complete shock and amazement, a glass smashed. So it was actually a Nagan bottle that he went to swing at the driver. But he hit it on the frame of the door on the way in. Glass hit my friend's face. He reached in, grabbed the driver by the head in a headlock. So we were all so shocked. I immediately thought, just start the car or start the van and clutch it. I'll put it into gear and drive. And I was controlling the steering wheel. So we got it up into third gear before the guy eventually let go. And which was a crazy experience.
And have you any idea what their intent or motive was, Gary?
Not a clue. I mean, obviously at 2 o'clock in the morning, to be pulling over a van or trying to pull over a van and coming with a Nagan bottle to hit the driver. It wasn't good intentions anyway. Probably to take the van. Who knows?
Gardaí.
None of us. We rang the guards as soon as we got up the road, as soon as we got the window closed, and rang the guards immediately to tell them, but we didn't stop. We just headed straight for Galway.
Okay. Yeah. Because it only... with the Wicklow Gap incident, John speculated on Monday. He said, I wonder were they videoing it to put it up to... for bragging rights or whatever, or stupidity rights. And as it happened, he was right. The reason, not only did he assault John, but they filmed themselves assault, which is a pretty stupid thing to do. They filmed themselves assault. Now, they didn't think the film was going to get next to near live line. It was in a WhatsApp group, apparently. So that was their motivation. But in your case, like, was the van of that value that... they would try and hijack you in the middle of the night and
possibly. I mean, it wasn't done up. It was just a regular, regular van. I mean, back in 2008 and 2009, there wasn't as much of the kind of online promotion and video and that kind of thing. WhatsApp around. So it was definitely malicious. I mean, we don't know, was there anybody else or how many more people were in the car? We didn't really want to know. It was fight or flight mode, and we just tried to get out of Dodge. Still to this day, we can't work out what happened, but scary experience.
It's very scary. Okay, yeah, Gary, that's Gary Vaughan. Safe travelling, Gary. Joe at RTE.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul, with a range up to 452 kilometres.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850-715-815.
Apparently, some people are taking exception to the Accent Challenge ad, saying if these four young women were Irish and were mimicking someone else, we'd get upset. They are Irish. That's the point. It's about perception versus reality in 37 hilarious seconds. That's what it is. It's perception versus reality in 37 hilarious seconds. There's no one hurt. There's no racism in it. The opposite is the case. And it is an education, if you ask me, in a hilarious, hilarious way. Perception versus reality in 37 hilarious seconds. And I think a lot of people will see it that way. Now, we're back to the phenomenal reaction we got yesterday to games during the pandemic and Scrabble taking 400 words off the table, off the board, so to speak, because they're no longer appropriate. And this, as I say, people phoned in about bridge and cribbage, and we'll talk to a few people now. But Des McHale is regarded as the Irish grandmaster of brain teasers and puzzles. Des, good afternoon. Des is in Cork, UCC. Des, how do you Google-proof?
That's a very interesting question, because I've got my friend here on the desk and I dare not say her name, because if I do, she'll start talking back to me.
Alexa, yeah.
One of the things I do is to, I read dictionaries, I read books, I make up my own puzzles. And the thing is, I've tried some of these now out with Alexa this afternoon, and she doesn't know the answer. So, I mean, I asked her, what's the capital of Antarctica? And she said, well, I don't think Antarctica has a capital. But, of course, every joker knows the capital of Antarctica is the letter A.
Ah.
And somebody who lives in New York is called American. Somebody who lives in London is called British. What do you call somebody who lives at the North Pole? And I'm afraid she was flummoxed again. Of course, the answer is absolutely crazy.
Okay.
Santa Claus, I suppose.
So how do you beat Google? Has Google killed quizzes?
No, I don't think it has. Google will give you good. It's wonderful. It'll give you straightforward information. But it doesn't understand humour, I think. It doesn't understand jokes. If you ask Google what cheese is made backwards, it'll start giving you technical details of cheese making. But every puzzler knows that Edam is made backwards.
Ah, brilliant.
So I said that.
M-A-D-E-E-D-A-M. Oh.
Exactly it. And if you ask it how many seconds in a year, without say, can you tell me how many seconds there are in a year?
Yeah.
Calculator, it'll start furiously doing mental arithmetic, but of course the answer is 12. There's a 2nd of January, the 2nd of February.
Okay.
So tricks and questions.
Well, give us a brain teaser, and we'll give it. We've a few more people coming on. We maybe throw it out to them as well. What's your brain? Have you got a brain teaser?
One that actually comes from my 5-year-old grandson who lives in Sweden, and he caught me out on it. And he said, "What did the banana say to the giraffe?"
What did the banana
say to the giraffe?
Say to the giraffe. Okay.
This is for a 5-year-old now.
Okay. And what games do you play Scrabble?
Oh, I do play Scrabble. I'm a fluent Scrabble player. I absolutely love playing. But the thing is, mathematicians aren't very good at games like that. Because
that's your background,
if you make a mistake in Scrabble, you're stuck with it. But if you make a mistake in mathematics, you just cross it out and you start all over again. That's the reason mathematicians don't become good chess players either. When you make a mistake in chess, you've had it. But in mathematics, you can cross it out and start all over again. So it doesn't always feature that if you're a good mathematician, that you're a good chess player as well.
And would you watch any quiz games on TV, Des?
Absolutely addicted to them. I watch them. And the big thing is try to be... I mean, who wants to be a millionaire? You know, I absolutely love that. And there's only one type of person who doesn't want to go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Do you know who that is?
I don't know. Give you
a billionaire.
but Who Wants to Be a Millionaire has reinvented the quiz show because you were given... You were given four answers. You were given the correct answer.
Right, yeah. There was no, I give it to him, I won't give it to him. Yeah. He's got it approximately correct. It's a choice.
You could actually win a million without knowing the correct answer to any of the questions, but guessing them correctly.
But the chances of doing that are very, very tiny. There's a 1 in 4 chance. So it'll be 4 to the power of 15, you know. I mean, it's very, very short odds.
And the phone a friend element of it and the audience element of it, it's genius. It's pure genius.
Little things like, you know, I mean, if you're going to use your 50-50 and ask the audience, don't use the ask the audience first. Ask the 50-50 first. You know, the small little tiny things. And never tell them. I don't believe the answers that cross out are random. You know, and they often leave just the two ones you might have been thinking of. So never tell them what you're going to do. Very tiny things. But it's a matter of luck. And if I went on that program, I'm sure I'd get a question on pop music and I wouldn't have a clue because I can't keep up with pop music. I just don't know it. But it was a wonderful format. Whoever invented that deserves an enormous...
Well, there was an Irishman at the helm, Colm Hutchinson, if I'm right.
That's right.
He used to work with Coleman and his son, I think. But it's a brilliant idea and still
is. It's a great format.
Now, the current one is a program called The Chase. Have you heard about that one, Des?
So what's The Chase again and again and again? That's a great, and that's
explain
ride.
That to me.
An American Chase, and you've got an Australian Chase, and it's very, very good. But again, the questions tend to be about show business and pop music. You know, you'd never hear a question
so you'd be
about
dreadful
opera.
At it. Dara Ennis, the Menace, as he calls himself, Dara Ennis is a contestant on The Chase, and you explained the game, Dara, and then you became the chaser. Am I correct?
That's correct.
Explain. I've never seen it. So talk to somebody who's never seen.
Well, the idea is that you get four people who don't know each other randomly, and they go on to a show to try and beat a professional quizzer for quite large prizes. And, the chaser is the professional quizzer, and they chase down the contestants. If they catch them, they're out, and then they don't win anything. But if they beat them in the final, then whoever gets through shares the money.
Okay. Now, who asked the questions? The chaser?
Bradley Walsh.
Okay. So what, I'm a contestant, I have a go at answering the question, and if I get the answer wrong, the chaser comes in?
Yeah, no. So in the first round, you answer questions, and everyone you answer accumulates a prize, £100,000.
Okay.
And then in the second round, you're playing against the chaser, and you've got a head start, and you would need to answer a certain number of questions correctly to get through to the final round. And the chaser's catching up to you, and every time you get one wrong, and the chaser gets one right, they step closer and closer to you, and if they catch you, you're out. You don't make it to the final.
Okay.
And then in the final, the team tries to set the target for the chaser to catch.
Ken, how did you come across it? Are you a pub quizzer?
So I live in Oxford, and I'm on a local pub quiz team. There's a league here with the lads from the GAA club, and I joined that years ago, and I went on the show as a contestant, and then they called me afterwards and hired me to be the new chaser.
And when were you the chaser? Are you still the chaser?
Yeah. No, I'm there's six of us on the show, and we sort of take turns, and I've been doing it for a year. I've been on air for a year, but I've been working for them for about 2.5-3 years.
So obviously you're a good chaser. You catch them?
Yeah, I'm pretty good at this. Yeah, I do pretty well.
And what is the skill, Dara? What did your teacher say to you in primary school? You're the smartest boy, the most curious boy, the what were
usually the most annoying boy, to be honest, Joe. I was quite often in trouble in school, I was a bit of a messer, to be honest. But it's about knowing stuff, but it's mostly about keeping calm under pressure, because it's all to do with time and trying to catch people. So you have to really work very hard under time pressure, and a lot of people panic in that situation.
And filming the chase, how long does that an episode take to film?
We film 3 a day, but it takes about 2.5 hours to 3 hours. It really depends on the contestants. Okay. And
Dara, what do you, the chaser, do in real life?
Oh, in real life, I'm a scientist. So I work in the University of Oxford in a neuroscience lab.
Okay. And how did you do pub quizzes when the pubs were closed?
Well, they've all gone online. So there's a big online quiz community. There's a huge online quiz league run by a website called Quiz Central. And you join in with your friends and you pay a fee and they set a league and you do them over Zoom.
Okay. Now, do you play any board games, Dara?
I do a bit, but I like to play Scrabble, but I'm not particularly good at it. But I like things like, obviously, like Trivial Pursuit and that kind of stuff.
Of course, yeah. Now, would you play Bridge or Cribbage or...
No, God, Go.
What's the Chinese... Can you play the Chinese game Go?
I can play Go and chess. I'm not amazingly good at them. I'm better at Go than chess, to be honest.
Well, Go apparently is the most popular board game in the world.
Yeah, and it's the best thing about it is it's a very, very simple game to understand, but it's very, very difficult to become really good at it. Like, it's a hugely simple game to play, but it's got very complex strategies.
Well, I was looking, there's a documentary on YouTube about they try and get a computer to beat the Go Grandmaster, or I don't know, it's a man or woman in that case. But it's... I'm still looking at it. I'm saying, how do you play the game? It's just black buttons and white buttons on a big board, and there's no shape or make to where you can put them. But anyway, I think we have a Go, somebody from a Go club who will explain it to us, and we'll do that after this break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with Kia. Going electric? Plug into the new Kia Ceed SW plug-in hybrid.
Kia. Movement that inspires.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Des McHale is a mathematical prof and a polymath as well in terms of brain teasers and quizzes and Scrabble and number puzzles. Dara Ennis is one of the chasers on the hit... British TV programme The Chase. He was also a contestant. TB is in Belfast and he runs a Go club. TB, how are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Good. And how many Go clubs are there in Ireland?
We have a Go club in each one of the big cities. So the biggest one is in Dublin. And, okay. Then Belfast, Galway and Cork.
Brilliant. Now,
we have players spread around all Ireland of Ireland.
Okay. Have you been affected by the pandemic?
I have been indeed, because we used to meet in person each Monday in a pub to play the game. But with the social distancing, you can't play Go.
Of course, of course. It's a board game with two people. So can you explain, TB... How do you play Go and how do you win it?
Well, Go is a 5,000-year-old strategy game which originated in China. It's an abstract two-player game.
Okay.
So the players take turns in placing black and white pieces.
Okay.
Buttons, you might call it, but they are called stones.
Stones, okay.
And you place them on intersections of a 19-by-19 grid.
Okay.
With the aim of surrounding empty areas of the board, you know. And in addition to surrounding territory, players can also surround their opponent's stones, capturing them and removing them from the board. Despite the simplicity of the rules, the resulting game has an unrivaled depth of sophistication and strategy, you know.
It has more potential moves than chess. Isn't that correct?
That's correct. Actually, the number of legal moves in a game of Go, it's higher than the number of atoms in the visible universe. So that's a very large number.
So there's a wooden board, so to speak. I have these black and white. Do I have black and you have white, for example?
Yeah.
Okay. And I place, I'm forced to go, I place one of my black zones on one of these intersections, these 19 lines that crisscross. Okay. And so then you place your white one, do you go beside that, or you can go to a different part of the board completely?
I can go on a different place of the board completely, on a different intersection. Okay. But like in chess, you have openings. Go is a little bit different because, you know, in chess, if a novice plays a master, you cannot make the game equal. You'll know that the master will beat the novice player. But in Go...
How short could a game possibly be?
It really depends how quick and the players are. It can last from 30 minutes up to 2 hours.
Okay, but when my white button is surrounded, one of my white buttons is surrounded by black, do you get a score for that, or do we continue playing? Or I forfeit my white button like in drafts?
So the game ends when no players can make any moves, because a player can't hurt himself or herself whenever plays a stone. So it's better not playing it. You know, so then both player passes, and then the points are counted. The points, the stones that are captured, count as points. But also you have to count the empty points on the board you surrounded with your own stones.
Okay.
And then who has more points wins the game.
And can it end in stalemate?
Sorry, say that again?
Can it end with nobody, neither player winning?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
Okay.
But in the modern Go, there is an advantage of 6 points and a half given to the white player because the white moves second in the game.
Okay, so you're given. And what buzz does it give you, TB? What buzz do you get out of it?
Go is renowned that it sharpens your mind.
Okay.
Actually, people say that it delays Alzheimer's installment.
Okay, that's where I was quoting an expert who was on Claire Bourne a few days ago, making that point about games and brain teasers and Sudoku and crosswords and Scrabble and Boggle and whatever else you have in yourself. Mark Murray, stay there, TB. Mark Murray, Countdown. You won Countdown, which is extremely popular again on UK television. What age were you when you were on Countdown, Mark?
Good afternoon, Joe. That was 7 years ago.
Okay.
It's hard to believe that it's that long ago, but I would have been 36 at the time.
So Countdown, just explain to listeners who don't know it. It's letters and numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
Separately,
so it's 15 rounds, and it's mixed with letters rounds where you get 9 letters. You've got to jumble the letters up, get the biggest possible word out of it. And in the maths rounds, you're given 6 numbers that you've got to try and use to get to a target that the computer selects for you, all within 30 seconds.
So you're given 6 numbers. The computer tells you, out of these 6 numbers, when you add, multiply, divide, subtract, get me to 742, and you've got to work out how you get there. Yeah, which element of it, the anagram element or the numeracy or literacy, which were you better at?
To start with, I did play Scrabble, funny enough, you were talking about that.
Okay,
and that got me interested in so the words was better, but traditionally when a Scrabbler goes on Countdown, they fall down on the numbers round.
Yeah.
So I did a lot of practice on mental arithmetic before I got to the stage where I went on the show, so that was much better than it was before.
And do you win it in one program or you win it over a series of programs? Do you follow me?
So, firstly, I won 8 games, which was filmed over 2 days.
Okay.
And then I was number one seed because the top eight players from that series go back and play in a finals type game. So from there, quarterfinal, semi-final and grand final. So
wow. And winning countdown and such a, well, 50 million people living in the UK. Winning countdown, did it change your life, Mark?
Not really. As much as I would have liked.
Okay.
I mean, on the plus side, you know, I've got a job. I had an interview the same sort of week as the final was aired, and I got the job.
Great.
Maybe because of that.
And is the job related to numbers or letters or?
Yeah, insurance now. So.
Are you an actuary?
No.
Okay,
just
but you work in insurance. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And TB, to go back to TB and Go. TB, what do you do in real life? What brought you to Northern Ireland? You're from Romania originally.
Yes, that's true. I'm an IT consultant and I work for a small Irish consultancy firm, Outform. And I'm building dashboards.
You work, sorry?
I'm building dashboards. I'm a consultant, IT consultant.
Okay. Tara, what do you do? And you're a scientist. Dara?
Yep.
Yeah. And Des McHale, what do you do in real life now? Are you retired?
I'm a retired mathematician.
Okay. Well, can you answer the question then, retired mathematician in the home of mathematics in Ireland, which is UCC? What did the banana say to the giraffe?
Nothing, because bananas can't talk.
Okay.
Just that.
Okay. And that reminds me of a story that Walt Disney had about giraffes. When they were doing, he was a stickler for detail, and they were doing one of their Jungle Book or whatever, and he had the lion talking and he had the zebra talking, and then someone said, I've written the giraffe into the script. And Walt Disney said, no, you cannot do that because the giraffe doesn't have vocal cords, which is interesting. Okay, so give us a few for the weekend, Des, and we'll put them up on our Twitter feed in a few minutes. Just call them out there.
My hobby is writing puzzle books. So I've written one called The World's Best Word Puzzles.
Great.
And the question for that is, what word begins with seven consonants and ends with nine? So we're looking for a word that begins with seven consonants and ends with nine.
Okay, now I'm not going to ask you any questions. You just have you another one?
Another one for you, yes. There's a mathematical one. You know that 1 plus 2 plus 3 is the same as 1 multiplied by 2 multiplied by 3. They're both 6. So can you do this with 5 whole numbers, 5 positive whole numbers? Give me 5 whole numbers that when added together is the same as when they're multiplied together.
Wow.
Tricky,
yeah. That's a good one.
Yep.
Have you got a third one in the last 30 seconds, or am I pushing you too much?
Yeah. Well,
Two is enough. One for Saturday, one for Sunday.
Right.
And we'll give you the answer on Monday. Thanks indeed, Des McHale, Dara Ennis, Mark Murray. TB is in Belfast. TB Gochu, he's originally from Romania, talking about, to me now is intriguing, Go, the Chinese game Go. I'm going to look that one up. Okay, back on Monday at 1:45. Fergus Sweeney produced, Mark McGraves on sound. Andrew DePuer was our broadcast coordinator, and Rebecca Meehan is the series producer. Ray Darcy's next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. Or email joe@rte.ie.